wilderness that involves destruction. Now, Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, tells us something again about this world. Chapter 8, verses 22, 23. We know that the whole creation, of which we have any visible information, groans and travails in pain together until now, and this is not exclusively the human family. It includes the whole creation, therefore the whole of the biological world. And not only it, this creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of our body. That is also the manifestation of the sons of God. That is discussed a little bit earlier. The sufferings of the present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory yet to be revealed. Verse 18, the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 19, same 8th chapter. You see, the government of God will be restored by the sons of God, those who were born into the kingdom of God, who have left the law of God rule in their lives. And in the meantime, human beings given charge over the world are being influenced by the spirits who are actually in control of the whole world. And in fact have set the pattern of competition and strife in nature which man copies. We examine nature ourselves today and we try to pattern society after the way much of the animal world behaves. Darwin, one of the most brilliant men of the last century, came up with the wonderful idea that the biological world, the survival of the fittest, is the way human beings ought to live. And nations, great nations, England, France, the United States, Germany, Italy, Russia, Holland, and all these great nations adopted Darwin's philosophy in the last century. Israelites and Gentiles alike. And they produce the First World War. The fittest survive is the philosophy. And the devil reasoned that in a biological world, why shouldn't we have a situation in which the fit survive and destroy the weak? That improves the race. This is the philosophy, see? It overlooks the question of divine healing and forgiveness and all the other provisions that God would have made. Now, God allowed this from the days of Adam on. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of God, who subjected the whole thing to this state of affairs in hope. The creature itself also will be delivered from this bondage of corruption, and here the reference of creature is to the family of man, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. From the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the children of God, and even the biological world around us will be delivered from the instinct that it's governed by today and will be governed by an entirely new set of principles. Of necessity, it is obvious that if you're going to change the food habits of the animal world, you must also change the reproductive habits, so that instead of the mice, instead of the rabbits multiplying to feed the snakes and the coyotes, there has to be a whole new structure set up in which reproduction and food habits, the digestive system, the traits of character, if you want to call it that, the characteristics in the animal brain that govern instinct, so that the lion can drink at the same hole that the zebra does when there's no hunger, but when the lion gets hungry, then every zebra has to beware. All these things have to be changed. And that means that the government of God, you see, is going to be extended into every area of nature. Whereas the angels now are in charge, the world of which we speak, says the book of Hebrews, will not be in subjection to angels. The implication is that the world in which we now live is in such subjection. You're familiar with this verse, I'm sure. We'll turn to the book of Hebrews here. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, which implies that the world that is now is in subjection to the angels. They once had an estate. They didn't keep it properly. They finally abandoned it and were cast down. Someone was created to replace them, Adam. He failed, and they now again were able to take over possession without manifestation of the physical world. And it does appear that indeed God allowed man to be visually in charge, and angels manifest themselves only with permission today. Evil angels try to influence the biological world, which man has charge over, by influencing, you see, the mind of man in terms of what we do with our environment. Now, when we see this, we also learn something else. If the devil's world, in terms of biology that is around us, the so-called balance of nature that we think is marvelous and wonderful, which is a remarkable world in the sense that the reproduction cycles of creatures are all out of whack, and in order to solve that, you have to have these other animals devour them. That's the kind of world that is love and peace and harmony. That's a world of fear. It's a world that is in fact motivated by the spirit of murder, the delight to see one creature pounce on another. All of this is the devil's world governed in opposition to the government of God. Now what we want to do is just roll back history, so to speak. On the weekend of the 4th of July, the night of the second Saturday night, I took my family, excluding my wife, to the Grand Canyon. And we climbed down Sunday and climbed out Monday. It took us 3 hours to get down, roughly speaking, and the climb out was a little more variable. Manfred did it in 5 hours, 50 minutes. That was a pretty good time. Gilda, around 6 hours and 5 minutes. And I came up later. Well, it was joyful, and it was a real experience. And it, in a sense, impressed one of the magnitude of the world before Adam in which the angels had charge also. And the fact that if you were to examine the geological record, you would discover that the present world of creatures multiplying out of hand, devouring one another, feeding on each other, competing for each other, a world of wilderness, a world in which the desert does not bloom as a world, as a rose, excuse me, and in which the mountains are practically useless. All of this goes back long before there was man. In fact, there is no time in which geologists have found life or in which paleontologists have examined life. There is no time, brethren, but what the biological world is in competition and devouring. And this indicates what Jesus said, that in the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, iniquity was found in the devil. The devil is a liar, a murderer from the beginning. He's a sinner from the beginning. He's a transgressor. And when God gave the plans as to what would happen on the earth and what would be created from period to period, the devil, instead of executing those plans in accordance with God's will, gave a twist and a turn here and there. And the instinct that was to govern the way animal behavior should be was set not according to the law of love and concern that a spirit should have for the biological world. It was set, as any of us know, on the basis of devouring, competition, a chain of life in which one thing lives on another and not cooperates with another. God set a world, as we already have found in Isaiah. He set that out as what he wished. And he gave the angels the responsibility. And apparently, the devil got the idea that he could improve. And little by little, he got more and more angels to go along with it. Until one-third became convinced to the point that after the immense times that can be measured through radiometric dating from the Archaeozoic, the Paleozoic, the Mesozoic, and the parts of the Cenozoic till recent times, and the word recent with a capital R is a geological term, more and more of the angels till one-third we're executing things the devil's way, and two-thirds of the angels only stayed loyal. But the devil, once Eliel, Lucifer, was in charge. And his will ultimately dominated the characteristic of the world. And geology, I think, and paleontology, from this point of view, are important not in so far as we describe shells, skeletons, deposits, but they are important in so far as they reflect the nature of the devil's government. And finally, there was the ascension, when the whole thing was to be abandoned and they were going to try to displace God so they could carry out their ideas elsewhere in the universe without his interference. And it all ended right there. Well, that is, it seemed to have ended. Because the devil was smart enough to get at Adam and to prevent Adam's success. And the devil got possession again, but now human beings are the fundamental dominant creation. He's got to work through human beings, through leadership. And that's what he has done. And he does it in the biological world, which God has allowed, where he was allowed to restore his government. And he does it through the social world and civilization by inspiring leaders in the social, the religious, the political realms, the military, to convey the same philosophy in structuring government and our society as a whole. And, if you please, even concepts pertaining to the family. God, in the meantime, sent forth his Son to make provision to pay the penalty of those whom he is asking now to qualify first, and also to assist in the conveyance of a message, and then to convey to the world a picture of what it will be like when the government of God is here. And it is so different from the world around us. And we're going to have such a great change in our perspective of nature that I think that what we will see in the world tomorrow as the government of God will even astound us. Because we often see it only as it manifests itself directly to us in healing or a church directive or just taking care of children or the elderly, and we don't see it in terms of the application of the government of God to the whole of creation. I appreciate being here. My wife is here and our two younger children. If you haven't met them, I certainly would be happy for you to do so. The two older ones no longer live with us but are in Pasadena. And I'd be happy if I have not met some of you to become acquainted.